Hey, welcome to Breitbart News Daily. What a show today. Wow. Okay. So, we kicked off the show talking about calzones and Haiti and then TikTok. And we talked about the most important of those three things. Calzones. No, we talked about TikTok for most of the show because there's a bill tomorrow that would potentially ban TikTok. So it would require divestment from the communist Chinese. And if an American company would buy it, if an American company doesn't buy it, then it would be banned. So at 8:30, we talked to one of the congressmen on this. He's on the committee that pushed this forward, and they're going to vote on it tomorrow. So we took phone calls today, and for the first 2 hours of the show, we just took phone calls. Only one person was for the ban. Every single call was against the ban. And I was very surprised. And not only against it, but against it for reasons I didn't even anticipate. I don't think anyone called in and said they're against it for freedom of speech reasons. That's the reason I thought people would be against it. Like, oh, it's freedom of speech. But people called in with all different reasons to be against the ban. Very, very fascinating. And then we had one call that summed it all up. Let's play the second segment. I think this is the one where we took the most calls in the first hour. And then we did this in the second hour. So we took a bunch of calls, but let's do the second segment of the first hour just so you can get a feel for the callers who called in today. A bill that would ban TikTok, voting on it tomorrow. It will probably pass the House. Maybe be a little tougher in the Senate, and Biden said he would probably sign it. So this is the thing that could happen. It would either require the communists to sell it to an American company. I don't know why they would, or it's not allowed anymore. And people are freaking out. Like TikTok kids are like people on TikTok. And a lot of people make a lot of money on TikTok too. Like their living is on TikTok. They sell stuff. So I see that. I hear that. But what would you do? Let's go to Joe, who's in North Carolina. What's up, Joe?
Good morning. Talking about TikTok. Yeah. TikTok's not the problem. Parenting is the problem. It's not the government's job to tell your kid what they can watch and what they can't. If you're a parent and you have a problem or don't think that TikTok is beneficial for your child to be watching, that is your responsibility, not the government. Now, and if you're an adult, 18 and over, you can watch whatever you want to watch. That's your own brain. That do what you want. But it is not the government's job to parent. It is the parent's job to parent. And that is the problem that we have in America today. Parenting is garbage, or there are no parents. That's the problem that we have in America. Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Joe. I will respond to that. But first, let's go to Rex, who is in Georgia. What's up, Rex?
Hey, Mike. Joe kind of took my point. I mean, where are the parents in this? If the parents are doing their job, we don't need the government to tell us what our kids can watch. And, you know, we have a lot of freedoms, but there's responsibility that comes with that freedom. And we have to take some responsibility for ourselves and our families. I think parents are just checked out to let their kids be on TikTok.
Yep. No, Rex, I appreciate the call. Okay, this is good. I didn't expect that answer. So let me speak to that. Yes. Period. Absolutely true. And we can give them 1,000 examples of where parents are not parenting and should parent and be more involved, et cetera, et cetera. I believe this one's fundamentally different. This is Jolene on Twitter. People who want TikTok banned have never downloaded it or learned how the algorithms work. Is it bad? Is X bad? Is Instagram bad? Every program can be bad parts. If kids are using it, where are the parents? Okay, so that's the thing. That argument right there to me is a great argument about how parents should limit or not allow Instagram or Facebook or video games, or a parent should control the music that kids listen to, or inappropriate TV shows. Cocomelon. Excuse me. All right. All sorts of bad things that parents should be taking a leading role in to protect and teach and all that stuff. And I'm totally with you on that. I believe TikTok is fundamentally different. TikTok is not just bad. It's not just rotting your kids' brains, which is, by the way, bad enough. And has such a capture over so many kids. It's there's never anything like it. There's never been anything that captures your kids' attention for many hours a day and rots their brains in such a way as this. Okay, so that alone makes it fundamentally different than anything else ever. Okay, but all right, fine. It is the fact that it is controlled by communist China as a weapon of war to, at the very least, demoralize your children. And yeah, I believe it's one thing for Facebook to do that. And I think it's another thing for us to continue to allow the communists in China to do it. I think the problems with Facebook are many and can be controlled by parents, or at least that falls within my freedom of speech, American company. Oh, geez, that's bad. That's a bad thing. But we can have a conversation about that in parenting over here. But over here, it's, what are we, out of our minds? We're letting the communists own this app? We're letting our sworn mortal enemy who wants to destroy us? We're giving them a window into our kids' brains for hours and hours a day? And we're gonna sit back and say, well, parents' responsibility. You know, no parents are doing it. No parents are stopping it. If you want to call in and say you are the parent who has stopped, that's amazing. I'm so grateful. So well done. 99.999% are letting the communists take over your kids' brains and souls. You think I'm dramatic? How much time do your kids focus on you every day? Seriously, add it up. Take your 13-year-old daughter or son. How much time are they focused on you? You. Right? You pick them up. I mean, you wake them up. They're getting ready in the morning. Like, that's not really focused on you. Maybe around the breakfast table. If there's do people have breakfast tables? So I don't know. So let's say there's a breakfast table and in the morning, that's like 8 minutes. And then you're going to school. You're driving to school, assuming they're not on TikTok while this happens. Maybe there's a couple minutes there. And you pick them, I don't know, 14 minutes a day. Your kids are focused on you, maybe less than that. And they're spending 4 hours with the communists. I think that's different. I think that's different. Let's go to Mike, who's in Maryland. Hey, Mike, did I make a convincing argument about parental responsibility or no?
I'm not really sure, Mike, because I am one of those parents. I have a 11-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son. They don't even have phones. So, A, they can't have TikTok, but they don't even have phones. And as an example of what you just said, actually last night, right before bed, my wife and I had a 35-minute conversation with our children about the First Amendment and the Constitution and how and civics and how the government works. To me, it comes down to it's the parental choice. I mean, if the communists are going to warp adults' minds, so be it. Because you know what, the Democrats are doing the same damn thing. So, I mean, you're going to get it from all sides. People are going to believe what they're going to believe. But there's also another side of TikTok that my wife and I are part of that is conservative TikTok, and we follow conservative content creators, and I don't get my news from there. It's an entertainment. We don't spend all day on it. And real quick, another really weird side note about TikTok personally, my wife had befriended a number of people over the course of the first year or so it was there, and she actually ended up booking a vacation with these people who were complete strangers to me. And she says, what do you think? Do you want to go to Tennessee and rent a house on a mountain with these two families. And I was like,
and
okay,
then they murdered you.
You know, that's what I said. I started calling it Tennessee Death Camp, even when she was on the phone with them. I said, you people are just going to murder us and throw us off the side of the mountain. But it ended up being really, really cool. And this year will actually be the fourth year that we all get together.
That was pretty cool.
And that's a family in Maine, a family in Indiana, and myself, our family, and
I pressed the button. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. I pressed the wrong button. Sorry, brother. Okay, listen. All right. My rebuttal would be, I wonder what China knows about you. Everything. Interesting that we seem to be okay with that. All right. You think you're following conservative influencers on Twitter. And you think that you have some sort of control over this. But what if China, not what if, when China wants to change that algorithm to send you certain messages to change your thoughts and change your behaviors, they have the power to do that now in a quote-unquote trusted medium, because I just follow conservatives on there until they inundate you with something else. These people are masters of mind control. And let's not think for one second that we're above that or smarter than that or able to overcome that. No chance. And then I would say there's other ways to connect with people as well. This is interesting. I really didn't think I'd be like so like hardcore on the banning side. We have every single person on the, it's wonderful. Every single person is against the ban. Wow. Welcome to Breitbart News Daily. Welcome back. So after those calls, and then we did another half hour in the 7 o'clock hour, a guy called in and said, wow, Slater, I'm amazed how addicted people are to TikTok, even adults. This just shows how addicted they are. You're trying to argue that we should ban heroin to the heroin addict. It can't happen. Very interesting. So we'll talk more about this tomorrow. We'll talk more about addiction and propaganda just to try to make sense of that, I suppose. So we'll do that on tomorrow's show. But here is the wonderful Francis Martel, a little bit about TikTok, and then also the latest going on in Haiti. Yesterday, I saw a video of a guy eating a guy. So that was unexpected. And then I learned that the guy who was eating the guy, his nickname's Barbecue. So now I'm thinking, well, hold on. Is that what this guy does? Like, that's why he's called Barbecue? Because he likes to barbecue people? Or does he love, like, pulled pork sandwiches? Like, what are we talking about here exactly? And it was all in Haiti. And Haiti is in some turmoil right now. So I thought we got to talk to Francis Martel about this and other things. Francis, how are you?
Doing great, except for, you know, having to talk about this cannibalism video.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah, sorry that was the motivation as well. Actually, can we table the eating people for a second? Let's. I want to ask you about TikTok, because that's what we were just talking about.
Sure.
Tomorrow, they're gonna vote on a bill that would require the communist to either sell TikTok to an American company or otherwise it will be banned. We're going to talk to one of the congressmen behind that coming up at 8:30. But we took a bunch of phone calls today, and every single call except for one, but everyone that we didn't even take, the lines were full, was against the ban, France, which I thought was pretty interesting. As much as we've talked about here, and I know a lot of conservatives have talked about how this is just like a communist spyware weapon of war, still, most people listening at 6 o'clock were against, at least who called in, were against banning TikTok. What do you think of this?
Oh, I think we should ban it immediately. We should have banned it yesterday. And the reason is simple, is that it's owned by an enemy state, by the biggest threat to the survival of the United States, and that it's routinely used. It's not even just the spyware, it's the propaganda on it. There's constantly anti-American stuff on it, but there's also just a lot of content targeting children and teenagers that is harmful, that is promoting self-harm, that is promoting violence. And so the issue with it is that I think a lot of people don't support the ban because they're uncomfortable with it because they see it as a First Amendment issue. Mm-hmm. But taking away something that is essentially foreign enemy propaganda doesn't preclude you from speaking. You can use any other platform, you know. But, you know, it's seen as this innocuous thing where there's just like obnoxious people dancing on it. And how could this possibly be a national security threat? And the answer is that the same way, you know, it works as a drug. There's science to this where, you know, you get addicted to the app. And the content on it is clearly designed to undermine the social fabric of our country. And it's designed by a foreign country. So it's pretty clear to me that this is a threat and that getting rid of it has nothing to do with free speech. You could easily speak openly about anything else, and there's no specific content that they want to ban, right? It's not like they're silencing certain opinions. They're just getting rid of this one company that is a foreign power's weapon.
Okay, so a bunch of people called in and said that this is the number one argument is this is a parental responsibility issue.
Yeah, but not everyone's lucky enough to have parents. And honestly, a lot of parents are ignorant, are overwhelmed, overburdened in this economy, you know, people taking multiple jobs. You can't assume that every single parent is, you know, doing well financially, has the time, is healthy enough to be monitoring every single thing that a child does. And, you know, would you say that if this was a physical weapon? You know, well, China's, for example, China is physically, you know, bombing places. Well, it's a parental responsibility to keep your kid away from potential targets of the bombings, you know,
yeah.
Like
no,
at some point.
Okay, what about this? You know. Because some people, one guy called in and said, well, what about put an age verification on it? And my thought is, oh, it's not just, the kids aren't the only problem here. Like this is bad for adults as well. But then someone called in and said, well, I follow a bunch of conservatives on TikTok. Can you speak to...
Follow them on something else. I don't know why.
Yeah.
This is such a big
but like, I guess my argument with the conservatives is, sure, but what else is China subtly feeding you that you may not know or be aware of, or when they need to feed you what they need to feed you, they have you captured and we don't even know it. Is that fair, or am I being a crazy person?
No, I think that's totally fair, because TikTok is not packaged as something political. If you go to the website of Xinhua or the Global Times, you know, Chinese state media, you know what you're going to get. If you go to TikTok to listen to, you know, some guy, you know, singing or dancing or whatever, and then they sneak in, by the way, Osama bin Laden was a good guy. You know, it's a very different experience than if you're directly going to something that you know is going to be political propaganda.
All right, very good. We will take more phone calls on that in about 15 minutes here. So if you'd like to call in and voice your opinion on this, you can call now and wait if you want. 866-95-PATRIOT, or we'll let you know when we're... That's when we're done talking with Francis. So let's talk about Haiti here. So what in the world? Maybe let's do a little history. Why is Haiti so different than the Dominican Republic? What do we need to know about Haiti's background that will help us make sense of today?
Well, Haiti was the first country to liberate itself from European colonists, and it did so in an extremely violent and chaotic way. Before the Dominican Republic, before a lot of countries, and that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that's a good thing. The last country to free itself was Cuba, and Cuba's a disaster in a different way. But that's the beginning of the chaos, is that the Haitians kind of liberated themselves from the French. They're basically the only major French country in that region, and they got no support for centuries from anyone. On the contrary, all the other colonies that were still linked to Europe undermined kind of the stability of Haiti. No one wanted to do commerce with Haiti, et cetera, et cetera. And so it just became increasingly isolated and corrupt. And that, coupled with decades of international interventions that really hurt. For example, the United Nations introduced cholera to Haiti by sending peacekeepers in there that ended up having cholera and bringing in this disease that was not, you know, was not native to Haiti. So they killed a bunch of people that way. The Clinton Global Initiative was in there trying to help people and also ended up being accused of all sorts of abuses. So those kinds of interventions, and then natural disasters. You had this giant earthquake, I think in 2010 it was, and the devastation was no one recovered from that. It was just the poverty continued. There was no organized effort to really rebuild. And the gangs started taking up power because the government was increasingly corrupt. And that was another obstacle, right? You can't really donate to anything because the government's corrupt. So you have the government getting richer and fatter, and then the gangs getting richer and fatter and kind of competing with each other. And then everything explodes in 2021 when the president at the time, Moise, was assassinated in his house. Someone broke into his house and shot him dead. His wife was there. His wife was recently arrested, implicated in the assassination. So Haiti hasn't had a president since 2021. They've had a prime minister that's barely there. He just announced he's going to resign this morning. So there hasn't really been a government for 2 years. And the most powerful guy in the country is Barbecue, the gang leader.
Okay. All right. That's like crazy, all of that. So I kept noticing the media would call them gangs. And you're calling gangs too. It's interesting how people determine, like, you know, how we're going to describe these things. Is that what we're going with? These are gangs?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this too, because they seem to be like organized political militias. If you listen to Barbecue talk, Barbecue's real name is Jimmy Cherizier. He's and by the way, he's not accountable. There's no evidence of that. That's just stuff on the internet. But Barbecue is a political opposition leader, basically. If you hear anything he says, he's very political. He is not talking about violence. He's not talking about drug trafficking. He's talking about toppling the elites. He sounds like, you know, classic populist. He's out there saying, we're going to take out all the elites. We're going to bring the people back in power. Like, very, you know, if you didn't know who was talking, you would say, you know, that sounds kind of reasonable. And then you see a picture and it's Barbecue with a huge machine gun, you know, threatening to genocide against everybody.
Yeah. Gangs a little different, right? That's, I don't know what I think of a gang.
Yeah,
I think of gangs
say,
like selling drugs and stuff like that. That's not what these guys are up to.
No, they are organized militias. They are highly armed and organized militias, and they're stronger than ever because Barbecue just led a prison break that resulted in 4,000 of them escaping prison. So now they're on the streets.
That's like Batman. That's crazy. So he went in. They literally, quote unquote, liberated a prison. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's unreal.
And that's because the prime minister left the country. He went to Kenya. He's been trying to get Kenya to send police forces because there's no police in Haiti also because Biden expanded the immigration policies to make it easier to leave Haiti. So all the cops just left. So there's no cops. So the prime minister went to Kenya to ask the Kenyan president to send police, which is actually unconstitutional for the Kenyan president to do. And once the prime minister left, Barbecue orchestrated this prison break. He's got an extra 4,000 troops on the street now, you know, troops, gang, violent criminals.
Wow.
And he took over the airport, which makes it impossible for the prime minister to come back.
Whoa. Okay. First of all, you kind of skipped over something that is pretty important. It was 2 years, 2021, when we had the numbers we were 30,000 Haitian illegal immigrants at the border. And if everyone remembers, that was the whole border agent on horseback whipping the migrants. Remember that whole everyone freaking out about that, and it never even happened. I had a quote here. Here's Biden. To see people treated like they did, horses really running them over, to people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. He wasn't referring to the illegal immigrants. He was referring to the border agent. Mayorkas said, we know that those images painfully conjured up the worst elements of our nation's ongoing battle against systemic racism. Maxine Waters said this was worse than what we witnessed in slavery. Okay, so everyone remembers that. What happened to those 30,000 Haitian illegal immigrants? But what you're suggesting is that if they were the good guys in Haiti, that led to further demise to where we are now in Haiti.
Yes, and I'm not even sure they're all necessarily illegal because we have, you know, they can get to the border and plead asylum, and then there's a case that's open. So that's another element of this too. Like a lot of these people aren't committing any immigration crime because it is legal for you to get to the border and say, I want political asylum. I'm a police officer in Haiti and Haiti is a disaster. And you know, you can wait out your case for years before you get processed.
Sure.
And you're not really violating any law. So all those people just came here, and, you know, can you blame them? There's no institutional security in Haiti. There is nothing that is functional politically, and there's nothing to protect you. And there's no reason for you to defend someone like Ariel Henry, who's the prime minister that just resigned, because these people are corrupt, and they are, you know, they're not behaving in a way that implies that they have any desire to build strong institutions in Haiti. So the cops are just saying, we're leaving, we're going to America. And they're, you know, they're leaving behind a problem that is increasingly unfixable.
Well, okay. How does this affect us here in America?
Well, the immigration surge, for sure. If you are in Haiti and you can in any possible way get out, you're going to get out, because there's no trust in any institutions there again. There's no, you know, you can't just be a civilian in Haiti and have, you know, your basic needs met. So you're going to get out. The other problem that I'm really worried about is what's going to happen. So this barbecue guy, now most powerful person in Haiti, could he end up being president? I don't know. The prime minister resigned and said, we need a transitional presidential council. I have no idea who's going to be on that. So what that means is we don't know what the next government's going to be like, and we don't know how they're going to interact with the other rogue regimes in the region, which makes Haiti really vulnerable to the influence of Iran, the influence of Cuba, the influence of Venezuela. And, you know, those countries cooperate with Hezbollah. They cooperate with transnational criminal organizations. Haiti could become a huge hotbed of drug trafficking, of, you know, processing violent jihadists. For example, Venezuela is known to have given out passports to, you know, Hezbollah members that are Venezuelan passports, so they can get through airports more easily than if they had, say, a Lebanese passport. So stuff like that could happen with Haiti in the future, and that's a huge threat for us.
Yeah, right in our back door. So the president of El Salvador quoted back the video of barbecue eating a guy, which, by the way, was taken 2 years ago. I love when people are like, whoa, 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 that video was from 2 years ago. And you're like, okay. Okay. So they were eating people two years ago. Like, all right, it doesn't make any better.
It's also not clear who that is in the video or that it's even Haiti.
Okay. I don't mean to besmirch barbecue. I take someone was eating someone somewhere is the video that went around. Either way, the president of El Salvador said, we saw similar images in El Salvador a few years ago, gangs bathing with the skulls of their victims. I can't even imagine. I don't even know what to do with that sentence. I don't know what it looks like to bathe with the skull of your... All the experts said they couldn't be defeated because they were, quote, an intrinsic part of our society. They were wrong. We obliterated them. The same must be done in Haiti. I don't think we talked to Francis since the president of El Salvador did this speech from the Grand Palace in El Salvador. It was pretty gnarly looking because it was a huge crowd. It was like a World Cup match, massive crowd. And he's up there in the balcony, right, which is very like Latin American-y, like to have like a speech from the balcony like that. But it was like a beautiful scene, right? Like it was, the palace was all lit up and he's out there with his wife. But it was weird too because he's young and he was wearing like a t-shirt with the sleeves rolled, like a long sleeve shirt with the sleeves rolled up. So it was like weird that he wasn't wearing a suit and stuff. So it's kind of like a weird scene to look at. Anyway, he was talking about how, you know, we were the number one murder capital in the world and now we don't, and all those experts were wrong and we shut it down and aren't we amazing and wonderful. Do we like the president of El Salvador?
We're in a trust but verify relationship with the president of El Salvador. He has done tremendous good for that country right now. But he has done it by amassing an incredible amount of power, by organizing some dubious constitutional legal arguments. For example, it's unconstitutional to be reelected president in El Salvador. He threw everybody off the Supreme Court, got a new Supreme Court that said that he could run again. So shady things like that. But indisputably, El Salvador is much, much better than it was before he was president. And he did it simply by getting enough money to pay enough police officers to just arrest everybody, and by suspending some freedoms of assembly and some constitutional freedoms. But the thing is, you could ask any Salvadoran. I live in a neighborhood with a lot of them. And they'll say, you know, 2 years ago, I couldn't take my kids to the public park because the gangs control the park. And if you're there, they're going to recruit your kid. That is not the reality anymore. So Salvadorans feel way freer than they did 2 years ago, even with the suspension of, alleged suspension of constitutional liberty. So he's done a tremendous job. My question is, what happens when the gang war is 100% over? There's peace and prosperity, and then does Bukele go off into the sunset and when his term is over, or is he going to want to stay in power? And that's kind of a wait and see.
Oh, interesting. Okay, very good. What do we need to know about the Houthis right now after we did our targeted strike against some of the bad guys in other countries? What have the Houthis been up to?
Well, Ramadan started yesterday in most of the Middle East. The Houthis came out and said, we're going to be bombing more things. We're going to get more aggressive during Ramadan. Jihadists typically believe that if you engage in jihad during Ramadan, you get more rewards in the afterlife. So we always see this every year, even with ISIS, with Hamas, with everybody. So they're preparing for more attacks. They killed their first three people since they started attacking people in the Red Sea last week. So unfortunately, I think they're going to start trying to kill more people. And these are, you know, the crew of commercial ships. These are not soldiers that they're going after. And the idea is just to intimidate everybody out of commerce in that region. They've bombed Russian ships. They've bombed Iranian ships. It's not just us. So the message is just stay away, because you never know when there's going to be a drone strike against you in the Red Sea.
And we're still, what are we doing, America? We're just letting it go? We're just
Operation Prosperity Guardian, whatever that is. There's no real clear understanding of that. We do some targeted airstrikes on Yemeni territory, and the Houthis have just moved all their stuff deeper into the mountains to make our targeted strikes harder to do. Biden admitted in January that airstrikes don't work, but he's going to do them anyway. And then Prosperity Guardian is supposed to be that a coalition of naval ships from various countries, including us, escort commercial ships through the region. But there's no real, you know, if you look at the Pentagon press releases and CENTCOM, the Operation Prosperity Guardian isn't really doing anything. So we're just kind of waiting to see if the Biden administration does anything meaningful. It hasn't so far.
Well, amazing. All right, Frances Martell, our world editor at Breitbart.com. Always wonderful to talk to you, Frances. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have a wonderful day. Frances is the best. Okay, phones are full, almost. We got one slot. We'll talk about TikTok. So this is very interesting. Tomorrow, they're going to vote in the House on whether or not we should ban TikTok. It would force the communists in China to sell TikTok to an American company. And I think the CEO of Activision has popped up and said that he would like to buy it. So China would have to sell it. And if they don't, then it would be banned. That's what it is. So we're just going to cut to the chase and say, should we ban TikTok? We're going to talk to a congressman who is in support of this. He's on the committee that pushed this forward, coming up at 8:30. But we got about a half an hour here. We got 40 minutes. I want to take your phone calls here. I did not expect this. The first hour of the show, pretty much every single person who called in was against banning TikTok. Wow. Very interesting. So I'll take your calls. 866. Oh, I didn't ask about that. Sorry, Zach. You should have popped that in my ear. Zach said, please ask about Russia and China saying they're going to build a nuclear power plant on the moon. That seems like a movie plot from Austin Powers. I think didn't he do that? Did he? No, something on the moon. I forgot. We'll talk to Francis about that one next time. Next time we'll ask about that old nuclear power plant on the moon. Thanks for listening to Breitbart News Daily. We ended the show with just a little thing about these Chinese cranes. So 80% of our cranes are made in China, and they just did an audit on these cranes, and they found modems, communications devices inside of these cranes. It's like, yeah, of course, obviously. And that is TikTok in your brain. So we'll talk more about that. And again, the power of propaganda and addiction. We'll do that on tomorrow's show as well. Mike Slater, Breitbart News Daily. Spread the word.